Shalom, today's Daf Yomi is Temura Daf Chaf Aleph, Temura 21. Today's Daf Yomi, we begin chapter 4 of Temura, and the chapter is called Vlad Chatos, the offspring of a Chatos, the offspring of a sin offering. As a background, we note that there are five sin offerings, which our Mishnah is going to discuss, which they die, and the Mishnah is going to list them. Their five sin offerings are the offspring of a Chatos, the exchange of a Chatos whose owner died, a Chatos that whose owner achieved atonement through a different animal offering already, and a chatos that became older than a year. In all of these cases, we say that it's a law from Moses at Sinai that these animals die under these circumstances. And in our chapter is going to discuss the laws of these animals. So our Mishnah says, Vlad chatos, the offspring of a chatos, temuras chatos, the exchange animal of a chatos, a chatos shemesu bala, or the animal whose owner died. In all of these cases, the chatos whose owner died. In all these cases, we say that the chatos animal dies. That is to say, how does the animal die? The Rambam writes in Psulei Hamukdash and Ketzad Hei Mesos, how do they die? Moshe Yargeim Bekli Obiyado, not that you kill them with a utensil or with your hand, but rather Yachnisem Bias, you put them in the house, and just lock the door and leave. That's based upon the Gemara in Kedushin and Hamavez, which states 55b that you stick it in a kippah, you stick it in a small enclosed chamber, and it dies on its own. And Rashi explains that in Kedushin, that actually the way the animal dies is by just not feeding it, allowing it to starve. And so that's Rashi's approach there. So that's the discussion of how it dies. But then our Mishnah continues and says, Vishe Ibra Shinasa, or if their chatas, which was older than 1 year, as we know from the verse in Numbers chapter 15, verse 27, that a chatas can only be brought while it is 1 year old. And so therefore, if the chatas becomes over 1 year old, under those circumstances, it's not kosher to be brought anymore. That also is supposed to be allowed to die. And also, Chatasha Avda, if a chatas was lost when it was unblemished, and then Nimtzeis, and afterwards it's found when it already has a blemish, balas mum, so it's no longer kosher to be brought. So in these last two, the law is im kipru habalim, that if the owner already achieved atonement with another korban, then we say tamus. Then we say that under those circumstances, the animal is supposed to die because it's not able to be brought at all. The ena osa tamura, and it is not capable of making a temura. The laws of temura do not fall upon it, since it itself is not able to be brought as a carbon, and since its value is not able to be brought to another carbon, so it has no holiness at all, and so therefore the laws of temura don't take effect on it. So this is what our Mishnah is saying about the laws of achatos shemesos ba'aweha. With respect to the laws of the chatos shemesa ba'aweha, with respect to these five offerings, the concept is that it serves as an atonement for its owner. And so this is something that is worthy of exploring, because Rashi writes in Me'ila Daf Yud Amud Beis, and Tosfos also writes that the reason why we don't bring a chatos, a sin offering whose owner died, the reason why we can't bring this animal, even though we have other cases where if there's a person who has designated other karbanos, neder and adava, and separated those animals, and the owner died, in those cases we do bring them. And the reason why in this case a chatos, which is a sin offering whose owner died, the reason why we can't bring them, that's on the basis of what the Gemara says in Horios 6a, that there is no atonement for the dead. And that's the reason, because their death already serves as their atonement. So therefore, we're not going to bring a sin offering once they're dead. And so since the chatos is coming as an atonement offering, it's not appropriate to bring it after the person is dead. That's the general way that Rashi and Tosfos explain it. However, the Gemara in Horios 6a also says that maybe the reason why the atonement does not work for the dead, that's only when it's brought itself as a kapara alone. However, if it's not just brought for the dead, but it's also brought for the living, then it can, if it's brought for both the living and the dead at the same time, then indeed it can serve as an atonement. And so that's why the custom is, in certain places it became a custom, And when they make a vow, for example, on Yom Kippur, and they make a vow on behalf of the dead, the chazan wouldn't just say a prayer on behalf of the dead, but he would also do the prayer on behalf of the dead and behalf of the living, because if we're just doing the prayer on behalf of the dead, then it's not effective, because we say we don't pray for those, we don't try to do an atonement prayer for the dead alone. So therefore, we have to do the prayer for the dead and the living. And so therefore, also, the Tzemach Yehuda writes that according to some, there's a dispute about what's exactly the reason, but according to the some who say that the purpose of the Yizkor prayer is to that we say on certain holidays is to serve as an atonement for the dead, it explains why the custom is that even though the Yizkor prayer itself is just a prayer for the dead, that's why it's a practice to actually to give a sermon before the prayer and to rebuke people, to do tshuva and to repent, because if it's just an atonement for the dead itself, we say that there's no atonement just for dead. It has to be lumped in with the living. It's a very deep idea, and the concept is that if we want to have really atonement for the dead, we also have to bring ourselves with our loved ones who have deceased. And when we are when their merits are interspersed with ours, with our good deeds, then there's atonement for both the living and the dead at the same time.